It's episode bonus.
We ran here. I'm kidding.
It's episode bonus. It's
episode bonus. We have a bonus episode today with a special guest, Lisa Chanu. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I did? Mm-hmm. Oh, yay! Yeah, we talk about her mixed ethnicity and being Arab American, having a big Arab family, how she got into comedy. What else we talk about?
Her podcast, What's Your Sign? Mm-hmm. Her mom throwing her an astrology themed birthday party, which is a fun thing.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Anna.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. I'm just adjusting my mic. I always do.
Today you are listening to another bonus episode of Ethnically Ambiguous. And we are joined by a very special guest. I'm very excited to meet. I met her today, just a couple minutes before we started pressing record.
Yeah.
I'm really excited because I want to meet her on the podcast with all of y'all and get to know her. And it is
Lisa Chanu.
Woo!
Lisa Chanu.
Thanks so much. I wanted you to say your last name.
Yeah, yay! It's a tough one.
I met you in passing at the Chicago Podcast Festival.
I was very drunk.
Weren't we all?
Yeah.
Gabrus kept buying people drinks, and that was like,
who?
Goodbye world. John Gabrus was there as well, of High and Mighty and all other thousands of podcasts.
I mean, three sheets.
Yeah. it was a funny night because it was like we were at that weird millennial hotel. And
yeah.
Good yeah. times at the Chicago Podcast Festival.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you're here. I am really glad. I like being able to meet someone as if I'm an audience member, because I don't want to like really Google you before. I kind of want to like just get like a first impression right here on the show. So for everyone that doesn't know you and know what you do, can you tell us what you do?
Yeah, I will say that if you had Googled me, there probably wouldn't been too much to find. But I'm a stand-up comedian, writer, and podcaster.
Yeah,
here in Los Angeles. That's pretty much what I do.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in El Paso, Texas.
Whoa.
Yeah. Border town.
Yeehaw.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeehaw.
Wow. I want to die.
It's West Texas, so it's a little bit
less yeehaw.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, we have cowboys and stuff, but it's Mexican border town, so, you know.
Actually, you're wearing your shirt that says El Paso on it.
El Paso Chihuahuas,
I should have known.
It's a baseball team there. Triple A
team. The baseball
team
is called the Chihuahuas?
It's a Triple A team. It's not a...
That's adorable. You know,
Isn't Chihuahua also a city, like, on the other side of the border?
It's the state.
Oh, it's the state.
So it's the Mexican
state. Yeah, Juarez
is
the city.
Whoa. I didn't know there was a state called Chihuahua.
Yes.
I don't either.
That's wild.
I always thought Chihuahua was just another city next to Juarez because
it probably is. I'm probably so mistaken.
And this is just me going off base off like Sicario.
I'm probably so wrong. Yeah. Just being like, yeah, it's a state. And everyone's like, she's a moron.
Well, I'm sure someone out there will correct us regardless because that's what happened on the show. But no, and I appreciate the feedback. Sorry. It's funny because Eli Olsberg was here last week. We're recording. I mean, whatever. He was here. Time doesn't matter on this podcast.
Too.
Yeah, he's the best. Mm-hmm. But he was like, "Wait, why is Lisa going to be on your show?"
And, he didn't know.
And he was. And then Anna was like, "She's Arab American." And then he was. I think he was shook.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. I
didn't know until Caitlin Durante told me you were, and I was like, "How interesting."
But
I will say
she knew until she saw me doing a comedy set about it.
But I will say that it does say so on your website. I did look at your website, and I did see that you do say that you're Arab American, which I really like, because it's not, even though you could, like, in most circles pass as white, I like that you're still representing yourself as, like,
Well, my dad was white. My mom is Syrian and Lebanese, and I didn't grow up knowing my dad's family, like, at all. So I grew up in this really tight-knit Arab kind of, and a huge family. So I really do identify with it strongly. I know that I don't necessarily look like it. The darker my hair is, the more people call it out, which is like a weird
thing. But even Anna and I, we get called out as being light passing too. Like, so it's not, we totally feel that. We did like a, before we had this podcast, we had a very short-lived YouTube show, and we had one episode about like how white people will play Middle Easterners in television and movies. And we had this comment that was like, these women look white, though. Like, why are they upset? We're just like, that's not the point, man.
Yeah. I think in a lot of cultures, Arab people are considered white or, you know, it's kind of a tough line.
We're considered Caucasian.
Yeah. So I'm always down to pass, too, you know? I mean, I think, you know, it's a privilege.
I mean, you are half, so you do have both worlds, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely have lighter skin. I know, I don't know. People, when my hair's blonde, people don't think I'm Arab at all.
At the same time, though, like, my sister is full Syrian. We're Syrian. My mom is Syrian. And she has very fair skin. Like, it's not, like, I think
it's a lot more common than
She's very fair skin. My dad has blue eyes. Like, it's I think portraying Arab Americans and Middle Eastern Americans as different kinds, like, not just, like, dark skin, turban wearing, like, whatever the media wants to represent us as. I think seeing us as so many different kinds is very important. Whether it's you or Anna or I, it's, like, important.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me. I have definitely family members that run the gamut, like, skin color wise. And it's just interesting to see, you know, they also run the gamut, like, politically. Like, a lot of them are more conservative. Like, some of them dress super flamboyantly. It's just like, definitely different types.
Yeah, it's so real. So your mom is Syrian and Lebanese. Which side comes from which side, like, paternally?
My
and maternally?
Grandfather came from Lebanon. Well, my great grandfather came from Lebanon, and then my grandmother immigrated from Syria through Mexico.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah. Wait, what?
So I think
that is wild.
Yeah,
what?
I'm really bad at history, but I think that during the time they were immigrating, it was easier to come through Mexico than from an Arabic country.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right.
Oh, right, because there is, like, a group of, like, Iraqis who live in Mexico, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a lot, like, I always say this fact, and people, I'm sure, like, sick of hearing it, but the al pastor meat that they make is from, like, Syrian and Lebanese, or
it's like
maybe
Middle Eastern inspired. Yeah,
it's like the same.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
spit
of
roast.
Course. Yeah. There's so many things that are inspired by Arab cuisine or Arab culture that people don't give credit to.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Like, Arabic numbers are all like, and like letters and everything. It's just like, it's everywhere. But how did your mom and your dad meet?
They say they met playing tennis at a park. It sounds like such a lie to me that I hate saying it, but that's what they told us.
Oh, and they're sticking to it.
I don't know. Yeah. My dad's passed away, so there's no, you know,
when did
questioning
that, was
it.
That when you were younger? Or?
About 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Chanu, where is that last
French
name?
French.
Yeah. So you have an interesting. Yeah, I was wondering. I was like, maybe she's like Moroccan.
I guess that's kind of the mix there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I didn't know. But so your mom was first, or no, your mom's first generation. I don't really know what first generation means anymore.
I mean, I think she would be second. I don't know how you count it if one family member is.
Yeah, well, was she born here? Was your mom born here? Or
she was born here.
Okay, so yeah,
she's
first
generation. And you're second generation. Right?
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Did she speak Arabic growing up?
They speak it a little bit still. I know the curse words, but I don't.
I mean, those are the most important parts.
I never know what they're saying. But.
Yeah. I'll teach you something. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I really show them up at Easter, you know?
So they go to. Is that where your grandma stayed in El Paso after coming to Mexico?
She immigrated from Juarez to El Paso, and they stayed. I guess she met my grandfather then. So he was born in America. But she was born in Mexico. And then they started some local businesses, and, you know, they're small business owners now. Yeah.
That's so wild to through Mexico and having your roots come from Mexico.
That is really cool.
I think she's the only one of her sisters that was born in Mexico and came.
And so she probably is fluent in Spanish.
They all are, except for me.
Like, it's different when you're born there.
Sure,
there, but.
But yeah, most of them are fluent in Spanish and some Arabic and English.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So crazy.
Yeah. I don't think I realized that there was like an Arab community in Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like people have messaged us before who were.
Yeah, they have messaged us.
There is a group of people who are from the Middle East who live in Mexico, and I don't recall what they're called.
I also just think, like, so many Middle Easterners go anywhere, like, any country that's not there, like, the whatever corruption they're currently living in. Like, I have uncles in Spain. I have an uncle in Denmark that passed away, unfortunately. Cousins in Germany. I think we're everywhere now. And there's no wonder we're in Mexico, too. Yeah. But I guess what's crazy to me is I sometimes forget, because I think my parents immigrated here, and because Syria is like a relatively new country, I forget that like they used to immigrate before, like do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. like the fact that your mom was or your grandmother was born in Mexico, like that's wild to me.
Yeah, it is. I also think that in my family we sometimes get confused. The Syrian and Lebanese stuff, because there are a lot of traditional gender roles that happen, at least in my family, but I think broader mm-hmm. as well. And so my grandmother was the one that would cook,
mm-hmm.
but then I'm sure she would be cooking Lebanese dishes, and we just thought they were like Syrian things. So now when I look at cookbooks, I'm like, that's that? I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. To be fair, Syrian and Lebanese cuisine are very close.
Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah, the close, like as far as Syrian or Arab countries go, those are the closest regions as far as cuisine goes. I mean, Syrian's the best, but I'm biased.
I want to say there is a Wikipedia for Lebanese Mexicans and Arab Mexicans.
Oh. It's so hard to think. The 20s that they came, or I know it's like sometime around them that there was a big influx.
That's so interesting.
Let's see.
It might not say.
It says 19th and 20th centuries.
I mean, that's very vague. It's Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That's
something
right.
like that. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, one of those centuries. So do you have any siblings?
I do have an older brother.
So you're the only daughter.
I'm the only daughter, and I was the only female of all of my cousins for a while when
How
I was a
was
kid.
That?
Different. I mean, definitely different. It's nice to, they treat you a certain way. I also got a lot of rough and tumble with the boys. Mm-hmm. I was a bit of a tomboy for a while.
For sure.
But, you know, got a lot of nice jewelry in those first few years of life, which is cool.
Because you were, like, not only the only girl, but the oldest girl. Like, the first girl.
I was probably the one that learned how to make all the food and do all this stuff first. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. So, but when you say you had a big family, you mean, like, your mom's family? Like, they were all in El Paso, too?
So, my mom had she was one of six. Her older brother died before I was born. And then, so she's the oldest now. And then, between them, the five of them, we have 13 first cousins, and we spend a lot of time together as kids, too.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
You guys all grew up together in the same city?
Two of them lived in Dallas.
Okay.
And they would come quite a bit, though.
Honestly, that sounds like every dream my sisters and I had growing up, like, because we would go to Syria all the time, and I'm sure you, like, with how you felt when you went to Iran, like, I wish I could grow up with my cousins all the time, like, my Arab cousins. Because we never did around. We didn't have family here. So that sounds so nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be around. Even when I'm in Iran, it's like, oh my God, all my family's here. We can all just hang out and everyone goes to one house and just eats the same food. It's so crazy.
And all the people like kind of look like me. Like, it's just so strange.
We get together about twice a year still, all of us. And then, you know, we play a Middle Eastern card game. And
Konkan? Do you play Konkan?
We play Basra.
Or Tricks? Oh, Basra! I love Basra!
Yeah.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, it's fun.
Do you know how to play Tricks or Konkan?
Mm-mm.
Those are the two main games we play in my family.
Okay, I'm
Or do you know Burjis?
Mm-mm.
Burjis, the one where you like, it's like kind of like old school Trouble. Like it's like a little sheet and it's like a board game, but it's like a cloth and the dice are like those shells. What are they called? Those like white shells that are, there's a name. Oh my God.
I've never played this.
It
sounds awesome.
It's
I'm gonna have to look it up.
Yeah.
We played poker and stuff too. My grandfather was a big poker player.
Yeah, interesting.
He won one of those tournaments.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like one of those, like, what are they, like the national
World
poker
Series World or Series. Yeah, one of those.
So you did mention Easter. So you guys are Christian.
Yes, we're Christian, Orthodox.
That's probably why you guys gamble, because my dad is very against gambling.
Oh, yeah, we gamble for sure and drink a lot. Yeah. Or I didn't mean to say it like that.
Everyone's fine.
Drink a lot. Everyone's okay. Yeah. But yeah, we gamble and we drink and yeah, we celebrate Christian holidays. But you know,
there's a huge population of Christianity in Lebanon and in Syria, like especially Lebanon. Yeah.
The Orthodox holidays too are celebrated on the lunar calendar, which is different. So, but we still celebrate the American Easter for some reason. I don't know why. And then they say, well, my family always says, you know why? It's a week later because all the candy's half off.
Yeah.
That's big joke that we're all cheap.
Yeah. Well, they're not wrong.
Wow. So growing up, like, what was that like? Did you feel like you had a lot of, like, kind of more traditional Arab influences, like when it comes to, like, the strictness or the conservatism and all that? Or was it a little bit more, like, Americanized because you had family that was, like, born in America?
I think that for me and my brother, it was probably a bit stricter because my mom was the first to have kids.
Yeah.
And, but still Americanized. My family definitely tried to assimilate very hard when they moved here.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Yeah, I think strict. We used to go every Sunday to my grandfather's and we'd go to the, you know, Syrian Orthodox church. Strict. I don't think it was that strict. Like, I was allowed to be in school play and stuff. Oh, I was allowed to, you know, hang and
nothing about your wardrobe or anything?
Definitely the wardrobe. Oh, yeah. I think that's still an issue. I'm not sure. Jury's still out on that one.
It's still an issue in my family, too. I'll wear a tank top. My dad will be, like, looking at me strange.
Definitely.
I'm almost 30.
Length of the skirt and all that stuff. But
it's crazy. I think it's so interesting because regardless of religion, those cultural things are so prevalent. Like, you grew up Christian, we grew up Muslim, or like our parents were more Muslim, and we still had those like strict like clothing things. Because I think especially in America, there's something like you have to hold on to what makes you
like pure.
Arab, yeah, and like Americans just wear shorts and flip flops, or we're not like them.
I mean, definitely too. Who you date was like a big thing, and how
you were allowed to date.
Not now. I'm saying now, even in college and stuff. But I definitely wasn't allowed to date until, you know, at least 17.
I'm still not allowed to date.
Yeah.
No, they're not gonna propose, there's no point. So I'm not gonna ever go there.
That's so drama.
I know, really.
My family goes to those conventions too. I've never been to one, but
convention?
There are like Syrian and Lebanese conventions in Texas. I don't know if they're here. But I know that they're my mom says it's like our version of arranged marriages. I don't know. You're trying to meet another family,
like,
to marry into.
Yeah.
But like, they do like fun stuff.
What's
you know?
It called? A
mixer.
Mixer,
That's hilarious.
Funny. My mom would be all, do not tell my mom that. Do not tell my mom those are conventions.
She's gonna hear this and be like, perfect, family vacay.
No.
Yeah. Get my other two daughters married.
I'm so glad
my parents don't care about me.
I'm so
I mean, like, they acknowledge me, but they have no interest. They're not ever gonna do the work to get me married. Like,
but Anna,
don't.
You have no idea like how crazy it is to me that your parents are okay that you live with Zach, are okay that you are with Zach. Like,
yeah, no, my parents
love that.
Are like, next level. I think my parents, I got lucky that I had older sibling who was horrible too. By the time it got to me, they were like, Jesus fucking Christ, just stay alive.
Yeah.
I think
I had a similar thing. My older brother was a bit more reckless. Yeah. I think also my dad was more strict than my mom. My dad was white, but he grew up in the military and that kind of strict. And so I think my mom was kind of more of a feminist when she was in high school and stuff. So I think that tampered down when she got older and graduated college and, you know, was like a business owner and stuff. But I think some of the strictness definitely came from my white side too. So I don't know.
Do you, mentioned, yeah, I know, right? Especially if it's like a military family.
But
you said you don't know a lot about your dad's family.
No, I don't. His parents died before I was born, and then I think I met his sister like once.
Whoa.
But yeah, I never really had much culture from them, mm-hmm. or...
And were you ever curious, like, about that side of you?
Yeah, I think I was curious.
Well, especially because it's your last name.
Totally. Yeah. We looked into it. I you know, you have to do those school projects and stuff mm-hmm. where you have to look into stuff. And everything my dad says feels like a lie. Like, he would say that we were related to, like, princes and stuff. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I just don't think that's true. Like, how come none of these people are ever around?
Yeah.
If that's true. But who knows?
He's burned some bridges with the princes.
Yeah, who knows? Like, really.
Yeah. Did your mom's siblings also marry like mixed like families and stuff? Or
yeah. So I think everyone but one of them married white men, and then the one Arab man married another Arab woman.
Oh. So the conventions didn't work out.
No. Well, that they take their kids, so it'd be us. Like I don't think they went as kids, but they. Like, my younger cousins and stuff used to
But,
go.
Like, it's... So, like, the white whatever family member is clearly okay. Like, they're just like, sure.
Yeah, well, why not? We have a close family, and, uh-huh, and they're part of it, you know?
Yeah. It's also, whoa. I think especially when you get a couple generations down, I think there's something about retaining culture and, like, just finding a familiarity. Like, I think there's a comfort there.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think also they, you know, they're fun. We're fun. We go out. We do fun stuff, and... That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good time. Yeah. Invite us over.
Yeah, come on.
We'll fly to El Paso.
Yeah. Come on. It's so fun. I mean, they all own small businesses. They all work together still. It's cool. They're cool. Yeah.
So what is it like? What was it like growing up in El Paso with like an Arab family?
I think for most of my youth, I didn't know until maybe, you know, middle school. Mm-hmm. I didn't really realize that we were different. Mm-hmm. But there's a ton of other like people of color, obviously a large Latino population.
Yeah.
And most of my close friends were people of color. So that's normal. It felt normal, or we felt like we had similar family dynamics. Definitely as I got older, realizing that the Arab people were like a group of people and everyone knows each other's business and everyone knows how much money so-and-so makes mm-hmm. or spent or whatever. And this mm-hmm. person bought this jewelry and what all of it, which, and also, you know, my mom owns a small business. So seeing what kind of people, she owns a restaurant. So what kind of family members came into the restaurant this week or mm-hmm. this other like Arab family that we know.
Was it an Arabic
from
restaurant?
Our church. No, Italian.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's nothing we're connected to, but yeah. But yeah, you know, people from the church that come in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. So shall we take a quick commercial break so we can get deeper into your life?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Okay, we're back.
We're back. So
we were just talking about growing up in El Paso.
Yeah, El Paso's, I mean, I don't think I've ever been there. Have you been there?
No.
I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, it's not a vacation destination by any means.
El Paso.
I'm just going to walk in with a cowboy hat on.
I've been to Amarillo, which was a place.
Yeah, small place.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
I wouldn't.
I got stared at a lot.
That's like a dry county. Or I don't know if it is,
really?
But it's close by, I think.
That would explain a lot of people that looked very like oblong and then like would be just staring at me. Because at the time I had very poofy, curly hair that I was wearing out. Don't do that as much anymore because my hair is fried from how much I've bleached it. But they were all just like, what are you? Like, it was so weird.
Bible
I was
belt,
like,
yeah.
Everyone is literally staring at me as I walk through this place. It was weird.
El Paso's not like that, but they would just assume you're Hispanic or, you know, something.
Are you one of the, I mean, did a lot of your cousins or your brother, did you guys move out of El Paso or were you one of the only ones?
My brother lives in Florida. I live here. And then a few of my cousins live in the El Paso area. There's a boarding city in New Mexico where they live.
How did your mom take you and your brother moving?
I think it was easier for me because my brother had gone mm-hmm. away to college. And then, you know, when I went away to college afterwards, I think she wanted me to move back for a while. Now I think she realizes that it's probably not mm-hmm. likely. But yeah, it was hard, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's hard for any parent to.
Yeah, for sure.
Watch their kids go.
Well, especially if you guys have such a tight-knit family there in Texas. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think since my brother and I were the oldest, maybe it was, it didn't feel like dividing the family or breaking, you know.
Yeah.
Like, just natural growth.
Yeah.
Well, one went to one side and one went to the other side of the world. Yeah. How does your mom choose who to visit?
Oh, it's a thing. Yeah, it's a big thing. She always, I'll be like, come. It's so, you know, it's a bit closer here to come here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so she kind of has a rule like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I came to you last. I got to go to Florida and then I can come again.
Yeah, I guess. Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's El Paso. So it's so far west that it's closer to here than it is like to Austin. Texas is huge.
Wow. Yeah, Texas is huge. When did you realize that you were into comedy? You said you were in plays and stuff, but when did you realize you were into comedy and like how did you feel? Because I know even though I loved comedy growing up, I'm sure you felt the same way, like didn't really relate to any other comedians or see myself in any other comedians growing up.
Yeah, I don't think I did either. I had horrible taste in comedy as a kid for sure. I definitely in high school liked Dane Cook and stuff, so that that's kind of embarrassing.
Well, Dane Cook had his heyday for a minute, for and we were like, "Oh, that's funny," but we didn't know any better.
Oh yeah, we didn't know better.
We didn't we hadn't swiped through Bumble 45 times just to see him over and over and over again.
Yeah, for sure, with his receding hairline, and that's not nice to make fun of. Why am I doing that? But yeah,
I can't help it. Okay, Lisa.
Yeah,
they're born like that. It's genetic. It's genetic.
I definitely didn't see anyone like me. I don't think that I thought about it that much. My mom said I wanted to be a comedian or a pastor.
What?
Which I don't know where I told her that or where she got that from.
Probably because you were like doing the stand-up thing and then she was like, a pastor.
No, I mean, when I was younger, when I was younger, I definitely bought that Judy Carter book about stand-up when I was like 16, I think. But I didn't start comedy until I was, I think, 24.
Mm-hmm.
So, or it had to be older than that, right? No, that seems right. 24, yeah.
So what did you go to college for?
Communication, which is...
That's just like the norm. Like, nothing. I also did that.
I didn't go to college, I guess. I don't know.
It's useless.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Arizona State.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were like, I'll do this until I can... Did you know in college you wanted to be a stand-up yet?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, maybe it was in the back of my mind somewhere. Yeah. I took a couple of performance classes, but I wasn't in drama and I wasn't doing really much performance-wise. I did some sketch classes at UCB, some improv, and then I started doing stand-up.
That was after you moved to LA, obviously.
Yeah, and I don't think I ever thought about... I don't even think I ever saw a female comedian until probably, like, I was 20 or 20. You know,
That's true.
I never, like, sought it out, really. So it was just what was on or what I had, a Dane Cook CD, a Mitch Hedberg CD, and I don't know, my dad liked George Carlin.
Yeah.
That was it. And that's three white guys. So
who are the female comedians?
I mean, Lisa Lampanelli. I mean, I'd heard of her.
Right. Or like Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
What's her name? God, now I'm... How am I? The oldest. I feel so bad. She's so good. And her name is escaping me. And she's like the OG. She was on E!
Oh, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers, yes. Yeah. She was great.
Studying communications, when did you decide to move to LA and pursue comedy? Or was that like, did you move to LA and then decide to pursue comedy? Or was that kind of mixed into everything?
I think that was definitely a difficult part of my life. I moved here with an ex and he got a job here. At that point, I think I was interested in writing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I had any idea about performing comedy. I thought I'd move here. He got a job here. I thought we'd move here. I'd start taking some writing classes and see where that led me. I guess it led me to perform. But I don't know if it was that conscious of a thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like you were just feeling the vibes.
Yeah, I didn't like my job. I was ready to leave Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically you guys both decided on LA because of his job.
I wanted to do comedy stuff. I wanted to write comedy, and he applied for a job here, I think, for that reason. I think maybe at the time I was like, I moved here for my boyfriend, and I don't think I did now looking back on it.
Yeah. How many years ago was that? When did you move here?
About 7 years ago, six, seven years ago. Yeah.
Nice. Same.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
That was the heyday.
Yeah, it was
moving
a good time,
LA.
Huh?
The
yeah,
rent was still kind of cheap
yeah.
in certain places.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. You get like a room for $800.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Just get drunk thinking about it. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and okay, so you come to LA, you slowly like vibe out that you're trying to do stand up. And then, so how were those first few years like getting your footing, like doing open mics and going around?
Oh, it was awful. I mean, I think sometimes still I have friends that ask me like, hey, what are good open mics? And I'm just like, none of them.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't know anyone there, or, I feel like now I've gotten to a place where I have friends kind of no matter where I show up and know some people or know who's hosting it. And that gives me some comfort. But man, I used to stay at open mics. I used to go to an open mic and watch the whole open mic.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that now.
Yeah.
But I used to really be like, wow, I'm going to watch everyone and just see what see what comedy is like.
Yeah.
I do not have the stars in my eyes anymore.
Were you actually getting up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do my 3 minutes, wow. and then I would watch 40 people do theirs.
Wow.
Ugh.
Wow. I mean, I feel like
I've definitely done that a couple times, though.
That's how you learn. Yeah. Like, I mean, what comedy is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to go when I first moved to LA and I was booking comedy. I would always go and just watch, just to see who was good. I wanted to know who was young and up and coming. And now it's like you couldn't pay me to show up and go watch people do comedy. I have no interest in people just starting out in comedy or like seeing who's hot. Now I'm like, just tell me who it is and I'll look for them myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't go discover anyone right now.
Yeah,
that's wild.
But so you have a podcast called What's Your Sign?
Yeah.
And it's about
astrology
and the zodiac and all that really fun stuff that I like. And Anna, I mean, you dabble.
Fuck around.
Yeah. But because I know we were talking about this really briefly before we started recording, but at least in my family and like my mom and her sister, and there's a lot of like fun superstition about your sign and the zodiac. Like my mom will always be like, like, if I meet someone, they're like, oh, what's their sign? And there's a whole, like, she'll analyze them and everything. So was that kind of how you grew up, too? Like, was your mom ever, did she ever mention the zodiac or, like what your sign was or anything like that?
I don't think I was interested in it that much as a kid, but my mom threw me a 13th birthday party that was astrology-themed.
Cute!
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she did it big. She, like, got, it was, like, a dinner, and then she had all my friends, like, not like necessarily their natal chart, but like kind of a page out of an astrology book about their birthday on a placemat. And
that's
then
so cute.
She had people come do tarot readings and stuff, but it's like, what do you tell a 13-year-old in a tarot reading? Like, oh, you're going to make a lot of money one day, or, you know. So I think it was kind of silly, but it was fun.
That's
and
so
I think
cute.
That maybe sparked my interest.
You can analyze their emotional intelligence. Yeah. Real deep. They're like, Mom.
Yeah. Are you torturing yourself? You're like, what?
That is actually, I remember my first tarot reading really freaked me out.
Oh, really?
I got when I was like 17. I was like, what the fuck? This is too real. And I was like tripped out. And then I like wouldn't talk to the friend who gave it to me.
That's really?
So I was like, witch. I don't know what I thought, but I was like really stressed by how accurate it was.
Right.
Like I didn't know much about it. So like I was just being like, this is witchcraft, you know? Like I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was just horrified.
Yeah. I think Arab people in general just take stuff real serious.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I know I do.
I mean, my mom is just, I love how into astrology and tarot she is. Like, especially tarot. I didn't realize she was into tarot until pretty recently, but hearing that your mom was also into it is pretty interesting to me because there must be a link there between like Middle Eastern and Arab culture and whatever that genre is. It's not
the metaphysical.
Yeah, the metaphysical. Because there is like a very huge sect of Middle Eastern and Arab culture that is like mystique and mysticism.
Belly dancing.
Like
and,
mysticism is a huge part of the culture.
Yeah.
And so there's no wonder that it's still part of it now in modern times.
I think like belly dancing too is this kind of like trance like trance like dancing, or to the idea of like snake charming, which I've never actually seen, but that the idea of being in a trance or that is kind of that dreamy metaphysical thing too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My mom gave me my first deck of like angel cards, which is cool. I feel most connected with that deck, I think.
Nice.
Which is cool.
What motivated you to start that podcast?
I don't know that I started it, but yeah, I my friends and I that talk about astrology, I think we just kind of talked about maybe doing a podcast, and here we are.
And you host it with Julia Loken and
Stevie Anderson.
Got it, right. Yeah. Tell us about it. Tell us about the show.
About What's Your Sign?
Yeah.
We do have guests once in a while. We usually take a topic a week and do some research and analyze and report back to listeners. We have been called the My Favorite Murder of Astrology.
That is a great, that's a great byline.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. Do some research, talk about
what kind of topics. What does that consist of?
We've done everything as broad as like sun sign or element to we've touched on really small aspects or asteroids like Eris, which is the goddess of discord, Lilith, who's prevalent in Middle Eastern culture. We take different things and look at them.
That's cool. I've always heard about your show. I've never I'm going to start listening. I don't know much about, you know, I'm really weird with astrology because I'm like, I can get very into it. But I'm also very easily freaked out. Sometimes when something feels too real, I don't know what is wrong with me, but I get very weirded out when something, it just hits me at one point. They're like, oh shit, like that shit's real. Or like, just like the concept of like how the moon
controls, you know, the ocean.
Yeah. And then most of our body is water. And then I'm like, whoa. Like, I have moments where my mind, like the quote unquote mind is blown. And then I'm like, when that shit happens, then I'm like, then I get like freaked out. And it's why I can't watch scary movies. It's I'm too like in my own.
I didn't know that.
My sense of self gets too like real.
Yeah.
I think I'm a similar way. I think with astrology, the more you dig into it, you kind of realize that it's not all that mind blowing when you're like, oh, I read my horoscope and it really read me today. And then you read the Gemini one and you're like, oh, that one fits too. And the Leo. Oh, okay. Yeah. They're all, everything is kind of everything. Oh, a piece of me is a part of every sign. Oh, okay. Well, I guess then like whatever.
Yeah. I think what I like, I think regardless if it's astrology, if it's like personality test types or love languages or whatever, I think all of those and even tarot cards, I think they're all just methods of introspection. And I think being introspective and analyzing yourself and being interested in growth is important. And if there's a avenue that can motivate you to do that, whether it's your zodiac sign or whatever it is, I think they're beneficial. Like I don't really believe 100% in anything, but I do think that it's fun to analyze yourself and to and sometimes your sun sign or your moon sign or fucking co-star, it's a fun app. Like it's fun to look at that and like compare who you're compatible with. Like, but at the same time, not take it so seriously where you're just like, I'm never gonna date this sign or like whatever.
I think that's what we do. I also think that there's value in seeing, you know, this time of year is about growth and change. This time of year is when all the plants die. Mm-hmm. Or how do I manifest those things? I'm really bad with scheduling. I schedule myself. I don't have like an agent, manager, person. Mm-hmm. And I'm really bad about doing it right. So it's nice to have a thing that's like, okay, for 1/12 of the year, I'm going to focus on action. The next 12th of the year, I'm going to focus on building on that action. And then the third part, I'm going to be a better communicator. The fourth part, I'm going to focus on family. It's like, it's nice to have something that like dictates that for me, whether it's real or not. I don't care.
Yeah, but it motivates good growth. Yeah. That's the most important part of life. It's just growing, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
This conversation is so real. Just listening to you guys go, I'm not good at growing. I'm a weirdo. I you know, therapy has taught me a lot, but I'm not good at, I can tell people like everything I've learned, but then to apply it to myself takes years. Like I will be like, you need to chill on something, and that won't happen for like 4 years, and then I'm like, oh, I finally figured it out. And I'm horrible at growing, you guys. But
I'm here to tell you. I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I'm saying but the fact that you're aware of it is like eons ahead of other people that aren't even trying to grow or aren't even introspective enough to go to therapy or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that act alone. Is exhausting. But it's important, right?
Looking inward is exhausting.
Whenever someone tells me they like change, I'm just like, you're sus. Like, I don't believe that you're a real person. Yeah. I feel like you're saying that you like it, you don't. But yeah, maybe that's just me because I don't, you know?
Yeah. No, change sucks. Like, readjusting your whole system is horrible.
Right.
It's just the concept. Someone, my doctor just told me I had to go to physical therapy, and I was like, I have to just add that into my life now? My entire system, like, shut down. It's like, I'll just add that to my schedule. And it's like, It's really not that hard. I don't know why I'm throwing such a fit about it, but...
What do you have to do with physical therapy for?
Just because I'm always, my neck and my back and my...
My neck. My back.
Yeah, I said that like 20 times in my mind. I was like,
I know a great community acupuncture center that really helped me with my neck and shoulder, and I'll give you their information.
Please do.
I have horrible posture. I also swim, and that helps a lot, too.
Yeah, I'm supposed to do aquatic physical therapy.
That's very good, because it's the pressure of the water is good for you.
Yeah.
I posted on Twitter today... that the worst feeling ever, and like the I feel like the biggest disappointment to my mom when someone glances at me and then adjusts their posture, like as if like I'm a reminder that I'm just a slouching human garbage can.
Oof. Well, that's the thing. Like, my doctor took one look at me. He's like, "Oh, I'll tell you why your shoulder and neck hurt." And I was like, "Okay, dude, you need to tone it down a little."
Yeah, it's hard because I have really bad TMJ. Like, my jaw locks sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I do
and
too.
I grind my teeth all the time. And it's a lot about my posture, because when I slouch, my neck goes out and all the weight is on my jaw. And so a lot of my spine issues and my jaw issues and a lot of my posture issues are all kind of like related. And even if you try to, it's constant working on it. It's always your. Always have to be aware of yourself.
It's so hard to sit up straight. Yeah. I've been taking Pilates for like a month, and I just realized when she's like, okay, everyone sit up. And I'm like, I sit up, quote unquote, and everyone else is actually sitting up straight. Yeah. I'm like, I need to work. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, we're right. Yeah. But did your mom ever tell you, like, imagine there's a string pulling up from the top of your head.
Yeah, or you're balancing a plate or something ridiculous.
I'm My mom always brings up that fucking string, and I'm like, I understand. I know there's an imaginary string pulling my head up.
If there was, it would take so much pressure off your back. It would be so much easier to do.
Yeah.
That's fine. My parents never told me to ever work on myself. They always just be like, stop complaining.
Well, that was it. I mean, my mom didn't. It's not working on myself.
My mom
more
has
than
never acknowledged
that.
The only thing my father ever said is lose weight, because of course he's a shitty Persian man. And my mom would always just be like, just stop crying. And that was it. And no one gave me anything else. And now here I am with poor posture and the inability to work on myself.
That's not true. I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. I know, right? Just this whole thing is just sitting up very straight.
I don't know how to sit up straight, and I find it quite rude that they expect me to.
Well, I did find that it helps me. I got like a little lumbar pillow when I drive, because we're in our car so much in LA. So like, it's helpful to have a little pillow like in the small of my back. Because my car is old and just doesn't have lumbar support. But it's nice to have that. And it's also like, I do some neck exercises when I'm driving in traffic sometimes, like for my physical therapy. I just have a lot of like physical therapy exercises that I did when I was in high school for my neck and jaw, like just rotating your neck back and forth and like extending your jaw and like a lot of things with your tongue.
I would love to see people who are next to you like,
you gotta do, man. No, my mom always told us to sit up straight. And my mom has this thing, because I didn't like my boobs growing up, so I'd always wear sports bras. And I think because I didn't like my boobs, I also slouched more to hide them.
I had
and
a
so,
similar
yeah.
thing.
So she's like, you ruined your boobs. Like, you wore sports bras your whole life, and also now they're like saggy, and like you just
like,
be proud
boobs.
Of them. Because I think she knows that like a big reason why I just didn't like stand up straight, because I don't want my boobs just to be like, here I am. And so now my mom is just like, they're beautiful, just stand up straight. And I'm just like, she's like, even though you ruined them. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Wow, that's not accurate. I don't think you can ruin a body part.
No, I don't think so either. I think I'm describing her as like something
else. You've done ruined your boobies. But
she's just very blunt, and she means it in a very loving way. And I think she just wants me to like accept myself and wear real bras, but I just wear like cloth things now.
Well, underwire is the devil.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I don't know how I feel. Sometimes I feel like if I'm not wearing one, it's a real free-for-all, but then again, I never want to wear one.
Yeah.
So
it's
a pretty catch-22 for me.
Was your mom very blunt with you growing up, or was she more like sensitive to your emotions?
My mom, she's a real smart lady. She's real, I don't know, it's hard to say. I think she was blunt, but she didn't talk about every topic with me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Like, we never, like, talked about sex or anything like that.
Yeah.
But things that did come up, it would absolutely be blunt.
Yeah. On that note, we're going to take a commercial. I'll be right back. And we're back. So you mentioned that your mom didn't really bring up sex growing up.
Yeah.
At least Anna and I's experience, just stuttering all over the place. In our experience, our parents didn't really talk about like emotions or actual like intimacy or anything about like human connection ever. So was your mom kind of like that? Because I know she was born here. So was that a little different, or like how did you learn about intimacy or sex, or how was that relationship with your mom? Mental health even.
I don't know. I think now we've talked about mental health stuff. When my dad passed away, she definitely was like, if you want to see a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's also, she's sharp and but she can be emotional too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I saw some of that, but she's a hard worker at her core, but she can be a bit of a dreamy, watery person too. I don't think I ever felt afraid to talk about my emotions with my mom, but I don't think she ever brought it up readily.
Yeah.
Like, it would be, how was your day at school? Not, mm-hmm. how do you feel about your day at school?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly how it was.
Yeah, I don't know if it's not common.
No, it's not.
I don't know why. When all I did growing up was cry because I didn't know how to deal with my emotions. Yeah. My parents, again, did not teach me anything.
They just told me I was sensitive. I was the sensitive
one.
Yeah,
they would just tell you stop being dramatic, and you're like, but the feelings.
I still get that from my mom and my brother, that you're too sensitive. And I finally, I think, have come to the point where I just say, well, I like being sensitive, and that's part of
because
who I am.
They said it as a bad thing, but really, it's a positive. It's a good characteristic to be sensitive, to have empathy. And for a long time, I thought it wasn't because I was told it was sensitive and like annoying.
Right. My mom used to always say crying is weakness, and now it's literally like, no, I was actually like dealing with my emotions while you were just sitting there.
In a valid way too, dealing with your emotions.
Yeah. And I think it also, I was the first kid and the first family member that was like outwardly very depressed and had a lot of issues. So I think with my parents, they had to like deal with that experience in their shoes, being like, what's wrong with her? And also like now they're good. But I think as a kid growing up, you're not really told to talk about it. Like you're just kind of just like, you're sensitive, grow up, like just deal with your own issues. And
I have a question. Have you guys ever seen your parents cry?
Mm-hmm. My mom, but not my dad.
Yeah. I saw my dad cry once when his mom died.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I can remember right now.
Have you ever seen your mom cry?
I did make her cry when I was 12. When I told her I didn't believe in God.
That's cold, Shereen.
I know.
You gotta approach that more sensitively.
But no, when I've definitely seen her cry when family members have died. I've seen her cry about Syria.
Interesting. I've only seen my mom. I saw my mom get teary-eyed the first time my brother went to jail. And that was it. And she pulled it together so goddamn quick after she yelled at my dad, my mom's a very quiet Muslim woman who keeps to herself and doesn't bother anyone.
Yeah.
And she just straight up called my dad a fucking idiot. Not in that many words, but it was in Farsi, so it was a little bit more
tame,
but she was just like, you're a fucking idiot, you don't know what you're doing, and I'm going to go see my son. And it was right after he got picked, it was a whole thing, this was years ago, and she was like very emotional, and that's when I was like, damn, mom, I got emotions. Because before that, my mom is very straight-faced, very like, she's very sarcastic and very dry and has no interest in her kids, kind of. She's very dry. She never wanted kids. You can vibe it pretty quickly when you meet her. But the only time I ever saw my dad cry was at his brother's funeral. And that shook me, and that was literally like 2 years ago. And I was like, you bitch, how dare you after all these years? Like, he was holding my hand and I was so pissed in that moment.
But
like,
you also have to realize,
motherfucker.
But you also have to realize, especially Middle Eastern men, raised a certain way.
I know.
I've never seen my uncles cry. Yeah. Even my cousins, the boys, I don't think I've seen my brother cry.
Yeah. Even when my dad's mom died, I think I heard him cry more than saw him. I didn't even like, I was scared when I heard him cry.
Yeah, it was crazy. My dad was like covering his face and being like, and I was like, this fool is crying.
But the first times I remember seeing my mom cry, like I had a cousin that died in a car crash when I was younger, and she came into the room and like was crying. I remember that pretty well. I remember, I mean, it's just, when it
comes to death, I think that's a human reaction, especially death that's like in the family. Yeah, you know,
I want to see them cry more. I need them to be more in touch. No, I just want them to be more in touch with their emotions.
Yeah,
so they can finally like get me. Yeah, and why I cry every 5 minutes about everything.
But people deal with their emotions differently.
No, I think that they cry in their room or whatever.
Yeah,
I think for most of my childhood, I don't think my mom cried in front of me. And I think she would still cry. I think she'd just go in her room and close the door.
Because it's a private thing. It's something you don't do in front of anyone else.
But I don't see it that way.
Oh, no. I'm not saying I do. I'm saying for them. For them, it's like a cultural, like, taboo.
I wonder where that comes from. Yeah, it must be cultural.
Well, because I think there's an obsession with image and an obsession with, like, presenting yourself the right way.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, being sad and crying is, like, as Anna said, weakness.
Yeah.
And at least in my experience, like, the Arab community that I've always seen or, like, been a part of either in the Middle East or here, they're so obsessed with appearances. And they're so obsessed with, like, what other people will think of you. And, yeah, it's the same idea with, like, people asking, like, what does your daughter do? And my parents will immediately mention my sister doctor first.
Right, right. Your my brother's a lawyer, too, so I get that.
So it's, like, the same idea.
Oh,
just
a good one.
Yeah. Right, well.
There has to be one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. My family's quite loud, though. I don't think that, like you mentioned, your mom being quiet. Yeah. My family's boisterous. They're the obnoxious people in a restaurant. They are loud. They're drinking a lot, and it's like embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's how my dad is. My dad's a psychopath. He's like crazy loud and drinks too much, and is like really, like literally starts dancing in restaurants. Like, I like this music.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, like literally, my mom's like, which is crazy to me.
My mom's side is definitely more fun than my dad's side. My dad's side is the more conservative, like, very close-minded religious kind where, like, everyone is covered, but, like, not saying that that's a bad thing, but I think their take on religion is just not my cup of tea. And then my mom's side, even though they're also Muslim, they're not really covered. They're more like liberal. They're very fun. Neither of them drink, but they're just more fun.
Like, you could be fun and religious.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And like they dance to music. They're not as strict about stuff. My mom is really fun. I think she embarrassed me a little bit when I was growing up, but now I love her. Like, she'll just like say really weird things in a restaurant or like hear a song she likes and start dancing to it. Like, she loves like Enrique, and she loves like like little quirks about her that I'm obsessed with now are just like
Enrique.
Yeah, but
I think like of all my Arabic uncles of all my Arab uncles, like when they're having fun, even when they're having fun, they never look like they're having fun. They always have like a scowl on their face, even if they're having like the best time.
Yeah,
and I've started noticing that in pictures of myself where I'll like have this like, one wrinkle that you can see only. Great for the listeners. But yeah, like I've started and I'm like, okay, relax your face. Like, let's get to a point. Let's get, I don't know.
But I think like even with my sisters and I think our resting face is like not happy.
No, my mom always looks like somewhat annoyed.
Yeah.
And
you
could be like, are you okay? She's like, I'm having a great time.
That's how
like,
people always ask me if I'm okay. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is just my face.
Do you guys get pegged for different Arab culture a lot?
Like, oh, yeah.
Every time some guy wants to ask about my ethnicity, that he always thinks I'm Armenian.
Oh, yeah. And especially
I don't know if it's just that you just know that from the Kardashians, or do I look Armenian?
It's just L.A., you assume anyone who's like of Arab descent to be Armenian. Or like you just, if someone looks Middle Eastern, you think they're Armenian first, because when I'm on the West Side, I'm pegged for Persian immediately.
Yeah.
I am too, though. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, even before people, because my name is Fars. Persian, but even before they realize what my name is, I'm either always pegged for Persian or Farsi or Persian, I mean, and I think Armenian is just like so prevalent in LA.
Yeah, I think more that's East what Side is, people assume,
especially in Glendale. Like, there are so many, there's a huge Armenian community in Glendale.
Food's so good.
Yeah.
There's so many good places in Glendale.
But people don't really, when they try to like guess what I am, they never guess Syrian. Ever.
I think I first say I say Italian, then I say Mexican. Then I say Lithuanian. I'm like, I'm all over the place. What did your, sorry, just jump back to your career. What did your mom think of you getting into comedy, or like your mom and your family?
She is outwardly supportive. I don't believe that she really likes it at all.
Yeah. Has she ever seen you perform?
She has seen me perform. One time she did say, I could hear you real well. Up there, which is
that
a
was
real,
the one
that's
thing
a real
said,
nice compliment to hear. I don't think she's ever seen me do that well.
Yeah.
I do get nervous around her. I also am pretty blue, and when she's in the audience, I definitely do cleaner stuff, which is not my strong suit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's cool. She's nice about it. She would never say anything rude.
Well, that's nice, at least.
She doesn't say anything super, super, super supportive.
She doesn't. I mean, no, she, you know, she.
I mean, Arabs are weird with compliments. Yeah. I mean, Middle Eastern nerds are weird with compliments.
I don't think she'd ever be like, this is the choice I wanted you to make.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, she got one lawyer.
Yeah.
I always say, if you get one, she be fucking happy, man.
Yeah.
So, what is your relationship with your brother like?
Not the best. Huh. We definitely butt heads, I think.
How far apart are you guys in age?
We're 4 years apart. Oh. We are still family, and we aren't, you know, we aren't estranged or anything like that. But I think we have a lot of different views, politically and socially, and, you know, we're just different people.
Damn, Florida got him, right?
Florida. I think he chose Florida, if I'm being honest. God. But
Florida didn't choose him. He chose Florida.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. I don't, but that's also his, you know,
yeah, I mean,
I love him regardless.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that can be tough when it comes up and I'm like, you're young. I don't get it, but I guess that's that. I guess that's part of our culture too, is like the conservative.
Yeah.
And my family, a lot of my older family members are conservative, so I could definitely see wanting to kind of be part of that. And I think if you make more money, maybe you feel more, I don't know. I don't know why you would, but
yeah.
Yeah, I guess when I'm super rich.
No.
You're going to flip sides.
Yeah, I'm going to be a Republican.
Don't go to the dark side.
I was at my gym, and there was this guy, and he was like kind of following me down the elevator, and I knew it wasn't weird. I knew he didn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got out at one place and come back, and he like couldn't find his way, and then finally like we figured out, and his car was parked right next to mine. And we were having like a nice conversation, and I was like, oh, what a nice like guy. And then, you know, I see his car has all this like horrible shit on it. And I'm like, no, like, God. Oh, like I felt so bad that I even thought a nice thing about him.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's what happens. People get you. You just don't know. You really don't know people's views until you really ask them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I my brother's not like that bad, you know. We're just different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he wants to take rights away from people or anything that, but.
What kind of a lawyer is he?
He does insurance. Oh. So I think he does property and physical. Mm-hmm. So like hurricane stuff, Florida, or, you know, medical, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Huh.
Nice.
Insurance lawyer. I didn't even know really that was a thing until you just said that.
Oh. Yeah.
I thought they all just do like corporate law.
I'm sure he's really good at it. So if you're looking for a lawyer, you know.
In Florida.
Yeah, just
Google
your brother.
My last name and lawyer. I don't want to give out his information.
Yeah, no, and you can find him.
The whole point of this podcast is just a huge insurance commercial.
Yeah. I'm sure he's really good at his job. I don't know. He's been written up in law magazines and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, he's great. I don't know. I feel like I just gave away his whole life and agenda, but he's good.
Is he married or have kidsies?
He's not, no. Oh. I think he's looking, though.
But do you think...
like, trying to pimp him out the whole time.
But do you think he's interested or, like, even thinking about, like, what kind of person he wants to marry as far as, like, culture? Or, like, do you think that being an Arab American is important to him, or do you guys differ on that?
No, I think it's important to him. I don't know if he's looking, I don't know if he's that serious about finding another Arab to marry, or finding like a Middle Eastern
wife.
But
that's also important to him, is the point, is like it's not, it didn't escape that.
Yeah, and I think family's important, so I think it to him and to me, but I think that he wants someone that fits in with the family and can hang and, you know.
Yeah.
Is he going to the conventions?
I don't think he's going to conventions.
He should. Mean a little.
He'd be a fucking catch, a lawyer.
Yeah.
Ooh, everyone's going to want.
Half whitey, too. They like that.
Yeah.
Oh, love that.
He looks more Arab than me, I think. He's been stopped in airports and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's a sure sign that you look Arab. Yeah.
You've
made it. Yeah. Like, you're one of us. You're one of us.
That's the one, like, it's interesting to me when we travel together. It's, you know, certain, because it's my mom, so I don't have the last name, But my other cousins, that it's their dad's side, I'm like, I'm going in front of you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be behind you and wait for you. No thanks. Yeah.
It's funny. At least you recognize the privilege you have, right?
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah. I think it happens on planes all the time. Someone will come on with a turban on or some kind of thing, and the person next to me will, like, nudge me, and I'm like, you have no idea who you're sitting next to. Yeah. But I'm not going to say anything.
You say Allahu Akbar.
As-salamu alaykum, Lisa Shanae.
My family and I always get stopped at airports, and I've, like, fought about it in front of people before, and it just doesn't go well. I've talked about it on the podcast before. Well.
I never get stopped, even though my last name is so close to Hussein. I have so many H's and S's in my last name. I am blessed that no one stops me. But I think it helps that people think my name is my name is Anna. What am I? People think my name is Anna. People are under the misconception that my name is Anna. But I also think I in airports, I really play up the, like, Americanized version of myself. Like, I'm only taking selfies, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I do TSA pre-check, so I literally am not the one. Like, do not speak to me. I did not pay $80 for you to look me in the eye. I just want to walk through.
$80? I'm
good. I need to do it now.
$80 for 5 years? No one's... Seriously, like, do not talk to me. I have no interest.
I need to do ASAP.
You should.
My sister did it. Rami did it.
You go and you do, like, a 2-second interview where they ask you zero questions.
Yeah.
And then you just fill out forms. You pay $80. They get your, like, your fingerprints. And then I think... And then in, like,
tomorrow.
A week, they, like, approve you. I mean, if you're not, like, a felon.
Yeah.
Do you think that kind of prejudice is different towards Middle Eastern women than it is towards men anyway?
Oh, definitely.
100%.
Well, because, you know, Middle Eastern men between 20s and 30s are the most radicalized, like, most likely to become radicalized. Yeah. So I think, like, when I flew back from Iran right after the travel ban happened, like, I was ready. Like, I was so terrified. Like, oh, I'm about to get caught up. They're going to ask me questions because I was in Iran. And then they just came and they pulled off all the, like, 20 to 30 year old, like, Middle Eastern men, and then left, and then I said everyone else is fine, and I was like, wow, they really fucking just profiled all those dudes because they're the most likely in their studies or whatever in their
but at the same time thing. Like, when you look at, like, what happened in New Zealand and everything, and even here, all the mass shootings, all of the
white men
are the biggest terrorists.
Yeah, of course.
And so, like, it's so
Dane Cook, and I'm just
did
just
you
terrorizing
see
us?
Vice.
Oh, actually, yeah. I just saw it today.
Yeah.
What an interesting. I mean, I, even as an Arab American, like, didn't realize so much of that stuff, and that he, you know,
created ISIS
essentially, or at least gave some, you know,
fuel to the fire.
Yeah, momentum to them.
And even, like, George W. Bush. George H.W.'s father is the reason 9/11 happened.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
He fucked shit up. People got mad. Osama took that opportunity to grab the, like, people who are basically to radicalize people who are upset with America, and boom.
And it's also just, like, so many lives, Arab lives, were affected and ended because of what happened in Iraq, and it was for no reason at all. Like, you don't need to, like, the movie Vice. I think it's important, and I like that it's a movie because it brought it to the mainstream, and I hope that people take it seriously because it's, like, what actually happened, and it's not just a movie.
Yeah.
Like, and then they put, like, statistics at the end of it, which was good, but it doesn't really... The lives that were lost and affected, there's no number for that. It's just... Like, America has no fucking shame.
Even, I mean, this kind of profiling probably started because of that. Or, I mean, it was probably happening before, but definitely ramped it up. I don't know.
Profiling is easy when you see a brown person. Just assume they're a terrorist. That's just how it goes. If you brown, I've got nothing.
If you brown, you clown.
Yeah, if you're brown, you're down to clown with Osama.
No, I'm kidding. Where can our little family find you?
Oh, you can check out my website, lisachanu.com, for my stand-up comedy dates. You can find me at the Chatterbox in Covina, Sundays at 9, or on the web with What's Your Sign Podcast.
Cool. You can find us at ethnically am.
Sorry, I feel like you were waiting for me, but I was just writing.
No, it's okay.
Info.
I also was like kind of burping. but you can find us at ethnically am big on Instagram, AMBIG, ethnically am on Twitter, AMB. You can find me on Instagram, Shirohero, SHEERO HERO. And then on Instagram or on Twitter, it's Shirohero666.
Mm-hmm. The devil is in Shireen. I'm just at on Twitter at Anna Hosni, and my Instagram will forever be private because I see what y'all tweeting. I see y'all being dangerous out there. I'm not letting you into my personal ass life.
But yeah, follow Lisa and see her do stand up and listen to
her podcast.
What's your sign?
What's her sign? What is your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
Yeah.
I heard you had a little bit of a
I had a
shake
snafu
up.
In my life.
Yeah. That's okay. May Taurus, Gemini. May Gemini. That's
I'm May 21st. I'm yeah. I'm cusping whore.
Yeah. And you had thought you were a Taurus and found out you're
no,
a
I thought I was a Gemini my whole life until I was 17 when my friend's mom pulled out a book and was like, oh, technically you were when you were born
the
at
the time
like,
of birth. Of the
yeah.
Sun.
You were a Taurus and I was like, you bitch.
Those degrees at the end the 29th and 0 degree are called critical degrees, so it makes sense that but also probably have a little bit of both.
Yeah,
that's what everyone says.
Yeah,
that I have a little bit of both. But then there's certain people who be like, no, you vibe way more as a Taurus and not a Gemini. And I'm like, I don't know.
I think you're both.
I do have like a dark side.
on that note, stay greasy.
Stay cleasy.
That makes no sense.
Bye.